The reason you're an entrepreneur is in part because you are looking to succeed. You're trying to create your future. You're trying to create something amazing. There's a dream at the core of every small business. I'm convinced. All right, it's time for another episode of Grow the Dream. Today,
we look forward. We look backward.
The lessons learned and the big stuff from 2015.
A lot of really good stuff.
Some stories.
And what you need to be paying attention to for this new year.
Let's do it.
Coming up right now.
Oftentimes, it's the ones that are successful loved what they did so they could persevere when, you know, when it got really tough. And the ones that didn't love it quit.
I learned many great lessons from my father, not the least of which was that you can fail at what you don't want. So you might as well take a chance on doing what you love.
Welcome to the most indispensable show for people doing the hard work of growing your business. It's the marketing podcast by entrepreneurs for entrepreneurs. Welcome to Grow the Dream.
All right, welcome to episode 48.
Grow the Dream Show.
Okay,
all right,
that was interesting.
2016.
Yeah, we're picking the needles too. All right.
Well, I sang loud.
You did.
Calm down.
Yeah.
I won't peg them anymore.
It's okay. All right. I'll try not to lower you too much in the mix.
Hey, everybody.
So it's 2016.
Woohoo.
Whee! First Grow the Dream Show for the new year.
Ringing in the new year, right?
Well, yeah.
I mean, singing Oklahoma. Trying to sing. Never mind.
It's the song that's stuck in everybody's head now after whatever happened over the weekend. So, I mean, I know they played. I don't keep track of this stuff. So,
I didn't either.
The ringing in, though, actually took place last week. So this is like the first full week everybody's back to work. We got stuff to talk about.
Yeah.
We're going to take a look forward at 2016.
But first,
I think we should step back.
Yes.
Absolutely.
We need to do a quick review of 2015, and then we can look forward to 2016.
Let's tell stories from 2015.
Or we could do something useful.
By telling stories from 2015.
Well, that's one of the things I think we learned on this show in 2015. We can talk about what we learned. I mean, I learned a lot
right.
of stuff.
Right. That's what I was hoping for.
You learned some stuff?
I did. I learned some stuff.
What'd you learn about?
Well, I mean, you know, there were quite a few, I think, real big lessons from this show.
I learned about this thing. It's kind of a new concept. It's called content marketing. And it seems to be a theme that emerged in 2015.
Was this new for you?
But it could have emerged multiple years before that.
Yeah, it could have.
The point was driven home.
Actually, I would sort of agree with that. I mean, if anything, it was like this year, content marketing matured almost mechanism for marketing. You know, it's been growing.
Marketing
relatively young.
Yeah.
And so now it's actually, I think it's becoming far, far more mainstream and understandable.
Hey, do you remember episode one?
I do.
Where we,
that was on my list.
Where we had it out.
Yeah.
Between.
Yes.
Are we talking about marketing, content marketing being a holistic, just any content you produce?
Well, see,
how did you use content as being like.
Okay,
yes,
well.
Actual content. And so that's one of my things was that I think the concept of content
here
being
we go
king.
Again.
Content being king. And that, we're not talking about content marketing. We're just talking about the content, regardless of the medium in which you use to present that content to your audience. So the medium is always changing, whether it's, you know, hot type or whether it's social media. The medium is always changing, but the content is always critical because no matter how good you delivered, if you deliver crap, it's still crap and it doesn't do you any good.
Boy, that's true.
Yes.
I'm not going to argue with you there.
He still has a different idea especially, on what content marketing is.
I didn't say content marketing.
I did
not say content marketing. I said content.
David,
those are different words,
David,
Josh.
I'm going to talk to
one
you right
One is
now.
Two words. One is one word. I'm still talking to our listeners because they
still
understand
not
what I'm
listening
saying. This is episode one
you.
All over again. I want to just say this. We're going
to
relive this moment for real in a few weeks because we are going to have a real first year look back.
I want to make fun of
we're coming myself. Up on our 1 year. I mean, we're about 3-4 weeks. I got to double check the dates, but I think we're like three
yeah,
weeks
we're
away.
Close. It was January 2015. So
it was I think it was like the 23rd or the 16th or I have to double check when we published our first episode. But but I think we're like 2 or 3 weeks away from the 1 year, which I think what we should do for that episode is like relive some of the best actual moments from the show. like do clips. What do you think?
Wow. Sure can.
Yeah. I mean, you
okay.
Because we had some really great guests. So
I would love it if our listeners had any moments that were particularly memorable to them, to them that they could share with us.
Yeah,
you know,
right
we can
in.
Find them if they can. If
I just
want to
find the parts where me and Rod fight and then just play all of those in a row.
You're just going to be embarrassed, Josh.
It was right
and
out
then
of the
get
gate.
A chance to rehash some of those things because I'm realizing this is fun. So,
yeah, it was.
And we haven't fought in a while.
Right
so
there
is...
at episode one, and I thought, here we are. We're gonna do okay. it all over again right now. but yeah, so I mean, I didn't mean to interrupt y'all's bromance argument here.
Okay.
It's all right. I was right a year ago, and I'm right now.
So you will agree, content marketing, that term is usually used to describe blog or
absolutely. Like any that's why I didn't use that term.
Or even social content. I think it applies.
Yeah, I think you have to understand that when you say content, that does not automatically mean content marketing.
I know, but last week, you said something
sorry,
about...
David really wants to move on from this.
No, it's fine.
Last
no, it's
week,
fine.
You
I'm
said something
it.
About content marketing... or influencer marketing being a form of content marketing.
I think that's true.
Yeah.
Okay. But it's just not our content.
Right.
But then I don't think social media marketing is a form of content marketing. It just doesn't seem like...
You're not alone in that. So some people put social media in its own thing.
Right.
But I consider it content, so I put it under content marketing.
Right. And you can get responses.
But just because it's
it.
Content doesn't mean it's content marketing.
True.
The traditional
right.
understanding
and
of the term.
Because it's
but if you're just doing
is,
social
but...
media for the sake of content, to create content for social purposes, then you're not marketing, and you're wasting your time. That's my opinion.
But if you're doing it and you're building something, whether it's an email list or even followers or something, and you have a strategy in place for there, it seems to me like you could make a pretty good case for it being content marketing.
So I know this is tomato tomato. I'm trying to.
Oh no.
Fight about it.
Yeah, it's tomato.
Oh boy. So,
tomato.
One of the takeaways. This guy actually
really say tomato.
This does come to one of my big takeaways from 2015, which is kind of a convergence of a whole bunch of stuff in one place.
I like the word convergence.
And really the importance of engagement at every level, and the importance of like this hyper relevance. That was one of the big things that I learned about this year, probably primarily from two people. That were our guests on the show. First of all, Jay Baer, he talked about hyper-relevant content. Mm-hmm. And then this whole discussion that we had with Marcus Sheridan when he was on the show and then later when I caught him at Inbound. Were you in his session at Inbound, Josh? I can't remember if you were in that one. That's right. Yeah, you weren't in that one. But some of our listeners were in that show. Some of our show listeners to this show were in that session. Anyway.
There you go.
Yeah. Some of the stuff he talked about, though, was this really bold, raw content that is very. You don't expect people to do the kinds of things that he advocates for doing, like for example, reviewing all of your competitors in a way that doesn't just cast you in the most positive light.
Oh, I know what you're describing.
You know what I'm talking about?
Doing ballsy stuff.
Sure, I was trying to be non-gender specific about it, but that's fine. Yeah.
Sure.
No, that term is used. I've heard women say it too.
I have too. I mean, it's been nervous when they do.
Okay,
but
problem.
Now we're going down this gender
that's
rabbit
your
trail
problem.
That I, let's call it bold content. How's that?
Sure.
I mean, I realize that kind of
bold.
That was one of the things
emasculates
I
the term.
Just laugh, but that was one of the things I sort of mentioned last week with Trump about how boldness actually can work.
Yeah.
Can backfire.
Sure.
But it can really work for you.
Yeah.
Yeah. No such thing's bad.
Yes. So that was, oh boy, here we go.
Different conversation.
That was one of my big takeaways. That was a big impact that the show had on me in 2015.
Okay. Here's a big impact for me.
Okay.
And I'm just going to do this, and it's a complete aside, and then we can move on. I hate the El Capitan update in Mac. I'm just sitting here, and ever since I've updated, now weeks ago, everything moves slowly, and everybody I hear online has similar problems with it. It's just an awful update. There.
Well, okay, but this is a theme that you're experiencing, and this is every time Apple releases a new update, suddenly all the older hardware is not as
It's true. You guys have this. This is one of the problems.
I think it happens on this bad before.
I think it happens on Windows too.
This is one of the problems with Apple's approach, which is we control both the hardware and the software, and they when they do that, they inextricably tie the software to the hardware in a way that is damaging to the users, because when you have hardware that you have to upgrade the software on, because I mean, OS X, right? If you had not applied this patch, this update,
right?
You would be on an unsafe version of...
That's what they say.
The OS, right?
Right.
No.
So you're kind of... Yeah, because they're doing secure, they're doing security patches as well.
It's all part of it.
Right?
So that's part of the
marginally
law.
Marginally less
now,
safe.
Now, Steve Jobs' approach was brilliant at the beginning.
They patch security updates for prior version because they know how many. Yeah.
See, I'm not a Mac
They've
guy.
Got
so
a
they,
separate.
They do send updates for it.
Yeah.
But
they'll continue to update the old versions. They'll continue to support them for a couple of years with critical updates.
All right.
Updates.
So you could have skipped El Capitan.
There are tons of people who do
but
not update their
Your device is new.
Relatively new. Yeah, a year and a half.
That's too new to be having hardware, performance issues.
I feel like it.
An OS update.
Yeah.
What about your RAM?
I have plenty of RAM. Actually, now the RAM actually got a lot better, and I was wondering if that was connected, because I was continually bumping up against my max on RAM, and with the update, now I always have a lot of extra room left in my RAM.
But it runs a lot slower.
But it runs slower, so I'm wondering if there's a RAM sharing thing going on there that is causing the slowness.
He's got a swap file?
You probably do have a swap
file. They're probably optimizing their OS for SSDs, because most all their computers now.
Do you have an SSD?
Have SSDs. If he's got a swap file on his, sorry,
go
listeners,
ahead.
We're nerding out here.
Yeah.
But if you've got a traditional, hard drive in there, and it's using a swap file to manage some of your RAM, it's going to be slow. Whereas on an SSD, that would be fine. The user wouldn't even notice.
Do you happen to know if you have an SSD?
I don't. But I don't want us to go too far on my machine on the show here at all.
The theme I was mentioning is for phones that you've had 1 year and then they release the new.
And that is an Apple theme.
Like, that's what I have.
Yeah, totally.
I have last year's iPhone 6, and then they released iOS 9 this year.
For the 6S.
Sort of on purpose.
It is. It's planned obsolescence.
Right. Which is what they did with cars for years.
Yeah.
And maybe still.
Well, many industries do it.
Anyway.
I'm happily running Windows 7 on my 4-year-plus-old piece of crap.
You need to get a new one, friend.
Yeah, this is a Gateway laptop that I bought. I literally walked into Best Buy, picked one that seemed right at the time. It was less than $500.
Does this affect you listening to the show knowing that it's on a Gateway computer? I feel like I'd be like,
that's disappointing.
It's on a Gateway.
It looks kind of like a Mac when you see the keyboard.
Not from this point of view, it doesn't.
From your standpoint, it looks pretty beat up.
Yeah.
So big things that happened to us as marketers in 2015. So, I talked about one of the things that the show, impacts the show had on me. But big things that happened in 2015, you think about where we were a year ago, Google was still planning to release the mobile-friendly update 1 year ago at this time.
Hmm.
That was one of the big things we got in 2015 was the mobile-friendly update.
Uh-huh.
And although the early testing by third parties on it didn't seem to show much of a difference in terms of search results, now they really are starting to appear. I mean, we're months later.
Tell me how that update is relevant to marketing efforts.
We were
encourage everyone to go responsive
on
that
episode.
So what you're saying is that the impacts were not as bad as people expected and were
not as immediate. Yeah, not as immediate. Okay. Now I think some people did have some immediate impact from it, but on the whole, it didn't seem to have an immediate right away impact. But today it does.
I have one client that is not responsive still.
Really? And how are they doing?
A non-responsive client.
Really?
Have you tried calling them?
she's a blogger.
Sorry.
So,
I've
been encouraging her for a long time to change the theme.
I mean,
she's had the same theme for 4 or 5 years.
We still have clients that have not moved on to responsive, layouts, but for the most part, everybody has. That's a big deal. You know, one of the other things that happened this year, I went full HTTPS.
Oh, good for you.
On not all of our sites, but on major client sites.
I think what that is, but we probably should clue in the listeners.
So like if you go to growthedream.com, for example, you can't visit growthedream.com with http://growthedream.com. Doesn't work.
Well, you can't. It'll forward.
It redirects. It redirects. Although there are some devices that can't see the site. If you have an older version of Internet Explorer, for example, you absolutely cannot visit our site.
Yeah,
we don't support the older types of encryption that they'll accept, and that's on purpose because they're not secure.
Yeah, my sites don't do that either.
Yeah, so but anyway, HTTPS is what shows up in your browser, and we call it SSL, but in reality, we're not using SSL anymore. We're using TLS.
Hey, what about HTTP or HTTP2? You seen that rolled out?
Yeah, I mean, it's starting to have an impact, but it's starting to be adopted, but I don't think it's having an impact yet.
Yeah, all my sites switched over because of Cloudflare. Not switched over, but started using it. And
interesting. They must be rewriting your code on the fly. Really? Wonder.
Yeah. Is that how it works? Okay.
I don't know. I haven't messed with Cloudflare. I did have a site, though. And you and I talked about Cloudflare off air. We had a client site where suddenly their bandwidth was being consumed like crazy.
Yeah. Yeah.
And the site went down twice in 1 month over bandwidth issues. We even upgraded to a bigger hosting package just to accommodate it. Okay. And you know what I found out?
What?
Our listeners may, if you've ever had huge bandwidth consumption happen to you, this will clue you in. Baidu, the Chinese search engine, was hammering the homepage of our client's site with thousands of requests per day.
Why?
What?
They were using 93% of the site's bandwidth. 93%.
Why would a search engine have the time for that?
And the interest in doing it.
They're the Chinese. I don't look, if you're Chinese, I'm not, you know.
Yeah, my daughter-in-law's Chinese, so just got to be careful there.
Okay, but I'm just saying.
I'm very defensive of Chinese. All
I don't
of a sudden
think
here.
He's going to say anything
not the communist
bad
government
about
so much.
Chinese people.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Is I think that
was just a plug for
I think
Christine.
That there's a government connection to the search engine. I don't know what the purpose is, but actually, as I dug more, I found out that this is a very, very common issue. Now, but when I talk to you, Josh, I'm like, I think I have some bots, and you said, well, Cloudflare fixes that. Well, I dug further.
Yeah.
You know me, so I dug into all of the logs, the server logs, and started digging around. And I found out. So I literally just went into the htaccess file on the server, which is an Apache thing. If you're an Apache user, you can just go into this file, and I put in a couple of lines of code that block any bot, any user agent actually that matches Baidu's string.
Okay.
And immediately the bandwidth consumption dropped, you know, down to about 10% of what it had been. So
okay, did you figure out why this is happening?
No. I mean,
is there any research?
Everybody speculates, but you know, at the end of the day, it seems malicious. It's apparently malicious.
Why would Baidu, like that's the Google of China,
right?
Do something malicious?
Yeah, but China's different. I'm telling you, it's a government thing,
right? Right. So this is because it's the government, because you know it's the government behind it in some way, you almost assume it's nefarious.
Absolutely.
Right.
Well, these are the people responsible for the Great Firewall of China. I mean, you know, I mean, not Baidu themselves, but the
right.
government.
Right. Which is essentially the same thing, though. Really.
Right.
And that's the point.
At the end of the day, right. you know.
Why would they want to be crowding up servers in the U.S.
Why would you,
with requests?
Yeah, because look, it's essentially a DDoS. I mean, it's a form of a denial of service.
That's
attack.
Fine, but why would Baidu? Why would the Chinese government do that to?
They're not our friends, this my brother.
This is a small no, business, though. This is not.
Yeah. So, and it's one of many thousands of sites that have been hit with this thing. So, I mean, maybe the government doesn't actually know what's going on. Maybe it's some hacker that works for Baidu that's like, hey, let's have. I don't know. But
You got to think, if it's costing us server resources over here, it's costing them a lot more over there.
Yeah, but I mean, they've got unlimited resources at their disposal if they're government run. I mean,
Baidu does.
Essentially, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. So anyway.
All right. So I had another issue.
Let's cut them off.
Another point that out of 2016 or out of 2015.
Yeah.
Out of 2015. Yeah, I know. Okay, so we
which keep, year is it that's in the rear view here?
Uh-huh. Yeah. So just for the record, if I misstate that a few times, and I might not be alone, because part of what I do for a living, I've been spending so much time in 2016 and looking to the 2016 elections and all that. I feel like the new year is now 2017, and actually we're just starting 2016. So
I
keep misstating the year.
Your age. Yes.
I think it's a Freudian.
And it might be my age, too.
No, I think it's a Freudian, like you really wish 2016 were already over.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, my, yes. Yeah. I loved Dan Pink.
Oh yeah,
and what he taught us about the the if-then reward system and all, and that if-thens work on the simple tasks. You know, if you perform this task, then here's the reward you get for it. But when it comes to complicated,
creative
tasks, if-then reward actually creates an inverse incentive, and people are not opened up enough to get to it. And people who do not have that and have basically a sort of a flat fee concept, although a generous flat fee concept, are much more creative, solve it better, come up with more options for solving it than those that are using, that are under the if-then. And his point, though, was well taken. Almost all organizations operate under the if-then method and often then get, you know, subpar responses for what they're asking for.
A lot of times, because the people who bubble to the top in these businesses are very successful on the sales side. Most organizations have a sales culture.
Right.
And in sales, often that's the order of the day.
Right.
You know, you compensate, you know, commissions. You know, it's all performance based. It's rewards. So if you're a marketer working for a small business, or if you're a small business owner and you're thinking about incentivizing staff, you want to think about incentives that will actually work. And if you have creatives working for you at all, I think the biggest takeaway from that conversation with Dan Pink was you've got to pay people sufficiently that they're not just thinking about money all the time.
Right.
Because that will stifle
creativity. That's exactly it. Because they're looking at the reward all the time. They're looking at the bonus or whatever it is at the other end of the tube. And they're not focused on actually getting the result. I mean, if they're going to get, just think for yourself. If you're going to get a $10,000 bonus for getting this thing done, that $10,000 is going to be sticking in your mind a lot, and it's sucking up some of what you need in your brain to be able to be free to solve a problem that might not be nicely inside a box.
Yeah.
So this is like Maslow's hierarchy of needs, kind of.
A little bit.
It's got some of that stuff in there.
Yeah.
So
I remember our cognitive neuroscientist got us thinking about Maslow.
Dr. Carmen Seinemann.
She was fun.
Mm-hmm.
That was a fun show. Yeah.
I'm curious, though, about your gentlemen in your personal lives. You know, not just from a, like, what we've done in the show perspective, but like, how did 2015 go? Like, do you feel like it was successful? You know, what were your goals for the year? As you're looking now, like, we're looking obviously we're in 2016. So we're looking, you guys certainly have a plan for what you want to do differently this year. What are your goals? Well, I think obviously you would have thought about last year and thought, well, where could I have done better?
So I will say, I mean, I'll be transparent for our listeners.
Let's do it.
We had we set a goal of a 20% increase in revenues.
Okay.
Just on the bottom line end, and we didn't make that, but we were not that far off. We were
about
15%.
Was it because the if-then reward was hanging out there?
We'd done Dan Pink at the beginning of the year. Yeah, exactly.
Well, how are you supposed to do that for yourself when you're paying yourself?
No,
you can't,
yeah,
like,
you got
no.
to. You,
all right, I'm just going to pay myself this no
right.
matter
and
what
whenever,
we make.
And, you know, and hiring, you know, contractors and whatnot to do work on different things.
Right.
I don't know how that works. Those are generally going to be flat fee things. And so maybe they work well, actually, in his paradigm then. And one of the things I wanted to do was diversify a little bit and at the same time learn a lot more about the technical end. Mm-hmm. Not to become technically proficient, because that's not going to be my strength, and I don't want to spend a lot of time, because there's a lot of people like you guys out there that I can call upon for help when I need it.
Technically proficient as a marketer or as a writer? I'm trying to understand.
Neither.
As a technologist.
Technology.
Technology
wise.
But marketing technology.
Sure, marketing technology is what we're talking about and all.
Martech.
And so, and in that respect, I certainly, without any specific goals, a lot more so. And I would say part of the reason is this show. This show educated me a lot on a lot of the technology stuff. Yeah, you too. You
fist bump.
Totally fist bump it because I learned from both of you on the technology side a lot.
When you're getting on to us about nerding out.
Yeah,
we're going to pull out this clip.
Yes, you need to. When I talk about nodding off and everything, apparently some of it's getting in. So.
Yeah, that's true. That's cool.
Right. Name one thing that you've changed.
I'm using Narrow.
That's on my list,
okay,
too. Actually, that's one of my big takeaways from 2015.
Narrow is legit. Except for when you get that random person that might be a, what do you call them, the scum of the internet?
Spammers?
No, well, there's trolls.
Trolls, oh.
When you accidentally favorite a troll's tweet, and they're like, what the hell?
I did.
Why did you favorite
my tweet, and
you're like, What do I say? And you say,
block.
I had this one guy that goes
to that article Rod found about the hate tweet. Hate favorite.
Okay, so it was the hashtag the pitch.
Yeah, okay.
And I favorited this person's tweet. And then they're like, why the heck? And so I just favorited. It was the passive, like, favorite
keep
hate
favoriting.
Yeah. And so he said a couple things, and nothing happened. Then 2 days later, this person, I don't know, bot, whatever, goes, entrepreneur, question mark, blocked. Period.
Oh, that's funny.
And like tagged me and another person that we're friends, and we were just talking on Twitter, and we're both like, WTF?
Yeah, so you that's where you go socialist? Question mark.
Oh god.
Blocked.
But, so here's something interesting. Sorry. I would say in the past month, I've had at least half a dozen times
Narrow.
Now. Yeah. And this might be connected to Narrow and who they're helping me get as followers.
Yeah.
But, because it's not perfect. wow.
Truly.
When you look at someone, it's like, how in the world did they choose that? I mean, it's like some Spanish socialist or something. I mean, really, they're speaking, or Portuguese.
They're,
I don't even know. It was
they're
some
trying
foreign
to diversify your perspective in the world. And,
well,
right. So, but
have you figured out how to find, like,
I keep refining
what tweet
it.
You,
hey,
you know,
actually, okay. Speaking of that, Narrow did roll out an update to the dashboard. I don't know if you've seen it.
Are we going to have the founder of Narrow on the show? I feel like we should.
We should actually
as
both
talk to him.
We should have Jared, and we should have Sujin on. We should have them both on.
Oh my gosh,
they're
Sujin
both,
would be great.
Yeah, they're both fun people. But the new dashboard, you have to select it right now because it's in beta. But one thing I like about it is that it's easy to get to the activity log, so it actually shows you the most recent stuff that it's done.
Oh.
Which is
okay.
Really
I saw the
slick.
Email for that, but I didn't know that right. It was just a check of a button. You could,
yeah, you can click a button in the dashboard. I did it yesterday. I don't know how long it's been there because I think I clicked through the first time I got the email and didn't see it.
Yeah, cool.
But it might have been there. I just
I'm
missed it or something. I don't know. But yesterday I found it. And,
So I'm going to finish my thought.
I'm sorry.
So that's all right. No, it's all right. Just because I want to.
No.
What are you guys doing?
I interrupted you.
Okay.
He slapped my wrist.
It was. We totally just went off on it. I just wanted to say that in the past month, at least half a dozen times, I've had people who I have no idea who they are. I have no idea what they're responding to, but they made a very snotty remark to me on Twitter. I go to click on who are they, and I'm blocked. You know, and it's
fun.
Like, I mean, several times, and it's like, well, this is annoying, which I assume is their point.
Well, you tweet a lot of political stuff.
And
I'm
that's
sure
it. Oh, that's clearly
that's
it. That's obviously it. Yes, I mean, yeah, we're talking.
Yeah, this one guy.
These
was
are
like,
probably Bernie Sanders.
Like,
there you went.
I'll be honest with you.
It's probably
I like
that,
Bernie Sanders.
It's probably that timeline cover photo of yours that has Governor Rick Scott on it. Of course, you can't really see him very well.
No, but it is Governor Rick Scott for anybody that wants to know. Florida governor, two-term governor, excellent governor who's helped the state.
I need to help you, though.
In all respects.
I need to help you resize your Twitter timeline cover image.
Well, I could do that if I spent time on it.
You know, you look like an old guy on Twitter.
You know, if it's... I don't care.
I was not talking about that picture. I was talking about the one at the top.
No, I know, but just in general, that was my first impression.
That bald dude that you're sitting with.
Which is funny, since you joined Twitter before me, and you always flaunt that.
Well, always, like I think I did once or twice this past year, but sure, that can count as always.
Oh, boy.
Oh,
the
you
romance
don't like,
continues.
You don't like the...
So by the
always
way, whenever I
never.
See those, whenever I see those trolls that do the block thing, I just immediately block back. I've never blocked really before, and I just block back because I feel better about it in the moment. It's like therapeutic.
But as your account grows and your following grows, you're gonna have to block more people.
Right.
It's gonna happen.
Right.
That was on my list though. I actually saw quite a healthy increase. I almost doubled the size of my Twitter account in the last few months of 2015.
Excellent.
And I know Josh, you've like yours has skyrocketed.
Yeah.
But you're doing more than just Narrow. You have
Tribe Boost.
Tribe Boost on it. Yeah.
Wait, which so are you expensive. Running two of these at the same time?
Tribe Boost is not
whole
the same
concept.
As Narrow.
Okay. All right.
So,
cuz I made that mistake, you recall I did Narrow and can't remember.
Social Quant.
Social Quant. Thank you.
Yeah.
At the same time, and I think they were conflicting with each other.
That's a problem.
Yeah.
Okay. So were you finished with what you've?
Yes,
like,
I am.
What
thank
happened
you very much.
In
2015? I appreciate your guys' patience there. Well, on that topic.
Yeah. So, how about you, Josh? I mean, you know, from a business standpoint, personal standpoint.
Dang it!
Yeah,
you were pointed at me before I could get you. I thought I was leading this segment of the show. Come on. I'm just kidding. Okay. Yeah. I think it's been. It was a challenging but a good year. It's a year where I feel like I've been asking the right questions.
Okay.
That's good. Not that I've figured out all the right answers yet,
right?
But I feel like I'm closer and in a better place than I was before. And I know that sounds sufficiently vague, but the funny thing is, in this year, I started three podcasts, one with
it's
you
true.
Guys,
yeah.
The Daily Hunt, which turned into The Pitch. So I don't know if you want to count that as two and a half. because we don't publish the Daily Hunt anymore. But yeah,
certainly not daily.
We can cut. No. No.
When you started publishing a daily podcast, I was like, oh man.
Wow.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm glad you did it. You did it for several months.
Yeah.
You didn't. That was not easy to do.
Well, and most of what made the launch of the pitch so successful was because of the
all
relationships I built.
Yeah.
Because the Daily Hunt.
Absolutely.
Got me into the startup community. Yeah. I didn't do that intentionally. I sure. really didn't. But that worked out. So
interesting.
Well, yeah. Sometimes you do just have to launch out on things, even if you don't have everything mapped out.
Oh, hell yeah. Every single time you do.
Right. And yeah.
There's every, you know, 9 times out of 10, people have great ideas on stuff that they build this beautiful picture in their head of what it's going to look like when it's all done. And it's the most glorious thing that they take with them to their grave, right. You know?
Yeah. That's sad.
If you don't start, you won't figure out what you would have learned if you had started, which will be the thing that leads you to the next success.
Right.
So there's a chance, actually, there's a really good chance that your idea is going to fail
right
off the bat.
Right. Just to encourage you all.
Yeah, but it's going to lead you to the thing that...
It very well may.
The next thing that could be a success.
And that's the whole fail faster approach, right? Which is just go for it and see what you learn and iterate more quickly. I think that's a lesson. Even you can use that internally. So you may not be thinking about starting a new business. Like some of our business owners that are listening are like, hey, I'm in this for the long haul. But nevertheless, you are having to adapt. You know, you're having to adapt and try new things. And, you know, we're doing that
internally.
And
they're not always going to work.
No, but some of the stuff
you got to launch out and try them. I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, that's fine. No, some of the stuff we've tried internally in our business has flopped rather royally, and it's always been valuable to pick up the lessons that we.
I would be interested if we have listeners who actually feel like the majority of their stuff flops and yet they still move forward.
But wouldn't that be true though in life?
I think so.
You know,
I think it's been true with my company.
Sure.
The more stuff you try, obviously, right?
Rod, I mean, your company. not what I meant. Yeah. I'm always agreeing with you. Like, yes, that's true for me too.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I went from last year, and we talked about this on the show, you know, selling my first business to this year, you know, not necessarily finding a business that's replaced that yet.
Right. Yeah.
And I'm doing things that I'm very passionate and excited about, including this show, and I love it. But, you know, at some point you look at you look at the monthly budget and you go, huh,
we need more revenue.
We need some more money here.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it's not the end of the world, but hey, we were doing great. We did this last year and now we're, you know.
Sure.
Yeah.
So it's weird to,
go ahead.
Yeah, I don't know. Just kind of from that aspect, it's tough. It's not easy.
Yeah. No. And so for the record, Grow the Dream Show for us has never been just about, hey, let's have a podcast that makes money. Like we didn't sit down and go, let's turn this into this, you know, money-making media empire. Although we appreciate the support of our sponsors.
Yes, we do.
And we've had some. I mean, it's not the biggest thing in the world, but we haven't actually pursued it either. So, you know,
we're still just working the podcast. So as far as how we did with our companies in 2015.
Yeah, 2015 for me, it was an interesting year because when we started the year, we were still sort of trudging through a rebrand.
Okay.
You know, the previous name of Grow the Dream, our business.
Epiphany Marketing.
It was Epiphany Marketing, which I love the name. It served us well, but
it's a tough one to spell.
I tell you, I had one too many people say, hey, I sent you an email and it bounced, you know, because they couldn't spell Epiphany Marketing.
That was your main driving
factor? That's a big deal.
I've always said when you're going to start a business, you got to come up with a name that is, you know, easy to remember and easy to spell. And it never dawned on me when we started the company that Epiphany was hard to spell. I don't know why.
He didn't have the epiphany.
It was obvious. And I guess maybe that's just me. But anyway, if you're not Greek of Greek descent or if you're not Catholic.
Okay.
Epiphany is not a word that you've used.
Let me see if I can spell it. I know, Rod, you probably know how to spell it.
Well, yeah.
Of course he does.
Okay. E-P-I-P-H-A-N-Y?
That's it.
Yeah.
Okay.
So anyway, we had been sort of
sweet
laboring through a rebrand and had taken way too long to get it done because we were just always focused on everybody else's, like our clients.
Right.
Yeah.
And never really focused on our
kids have no
rebrands
shoes.
Are always, always...
Oh,
always harder than you think they will
be. It's a lot more work than you imagine. I don't know why, because we helped clients through it.
Yeah.
You know, it's not like we were ignorant of what it involved.
And it is a lot of trouble for your customers, too, your existing customers. Yeah. And you may be doing it for those future customers who haven't found you yet, which may may pay off.
Right.
You hope it pays off, but it is not easy.
So we got the rebrand finished in part because of this show. And it was funny because...
Well, we're glad we could help.
Yeah. Because when we renamed this show, the Grow the Dream Show, which, for the record, I always loved that name, but I wasn't pushing for it. But when we renamed this show...
No, we all agreed that was the right way to go.
Yeah, and you guys really seemed... Because, look, that's what we're about. I mean, we're about, you know, the dreams that people have. That, I mean, the reason you're an entrepreneur is in part because you are looking to succeed. You're trying to create your future. You're trying to create something amazing. And so even if you're not, you know, an entrepreneur that, you know, is a serial entrepreneur, but you're a business owner, or or you work inside of a small business, there's a dream at the core of every small business, I'm convinced. And anyway,
certainly should be.
That's what we're here to do, is grow that. But anyway, when we renamed it, and we knew we were going to start getting a bunch of traffic to the site,
right,
it forced me to like do a whole bunch of work to the website that wasn't getting done. So that was part of it. So I, in one sense, the show has really helped. Now the site is still not where I would want it to be, but our podcast looks pretty good on it. I think
it does. No, it does.
The podcast part looks awesome.
So beyond the rebrand, was there anything else?
Yeah, you know, from a goals standpoint, I think I am learning that I'm unrealistic.
Oh, like 20% increase in revenue? Yeah, I understand.
Well, yeah, I mean, and I don't even know what our revenues were. Honestly, I don't watch the numbers because I learned this about myself.
I'm a data geek, so.
Well,
I am too.
But I learned what Dan Pink talked about on this show.
Yeah.
A long time ago.
Okay.
Actually, a lot of that was in his book Drive, which is a number of years old now, which is worth the read. If you're hearing what we're talking about with these incentives and you haven't read the book, you should go read the book or download it on Audible.
Interesting to me because when he talked about this, I thought immediately of managing your team, the people that you have employed, and how to incentivize them.
Right. Yeah. But
how do you incentivize yourself?
You got to learn to motivate yourself. And for me, motivating me has never worked financially. If I say, and I don't know what it is, I think it's a weird wiring flaw, honestly, in myself. Well, here's why. Because if I sit down and I have two things that I could work on right now, and one of them benefits me, I'll work on the other one. I like I said, I think it's a little bit of a flaw. Actually, this led to marriage difficulties in my life. I'll be real, because
being more transparent than I was.
One of the things that I used to do.
Here we go. This is what I was hoping for.
This is a true story. One of the things that I used to do.
No, not that kind of hoping for.
Before we had a team and when it was just me, I would not invoice clients. I wouldn't send the invoices.
See, I do not understand that concept.
I know. I it's weird. I mean, it's not like I never did it. I would put it off. I mean, it would be sometimes months would go by.
Wow.
And my wife would be like, hey, you know, where's the money?
And I'd be like, check out the refrigerator, man.
I got some invoicing to do. Oh, okay.
I wonder if there are clients of yours that just never got invoiced.
Probably.
And
honestly,
they just slipped your mind,
probably,
you know?
Forgot, yeah. There was one client I'll never forget. I must have sent him an invoice once every 6 or 8 months. And he never, you know, some clients would get mad, like, hey, why is this so big? He never gave me a problem about it. He just paid him, but it was weird. So we did a couple of things along the way that protected our business from that. One of them is
you don't do the invoices anymore.
No, we don't invoice. We bill up front for the vast majority of our work.
Nice.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Good job.
But that frustrates my team, because I have some team. And I won't name names here, but I have some of my team that work the other way. They work for the reward at the end, and it's frustrating to them. They feel like they're in debt before they start.
Well, so don't pay them.
No. It's not that.
Until they've concluded.
They understand where we sit in our relationship with the client.
Right.
The client's already paid us for this work, so we have to do it.
Right.
And that affects their motivation.
Oh, I see.
Differently than...
That's interesting, because I would just think that they'd be like, well, they don't actually get paid by you until they've done their
true
work, though.
Yeah, but that's
you would involve them in the process.
They're totally involved. They're
in the
everybody
beginning
knows
of yeah. the quote.
Exactly.
Of
yeah.
the you know
everybody
painting the
knows.
Vision for the wow.
Yeah. So that part's weird, honestly. And so when I say I'm unrealistic, like I said, I don't know what the financial numbers are. I think about us in terms of the number of clients that we have. I think about us in terms of the number of team members that we have. And there are places where I was hoping that we would be, you know, as I sit here at the beginning of 2016 right now, that we're not. But as I look back, I'm like, I don't know how we could have done that differently. It's not like maybe if we had some massive injection of cash or something, it might have gone differently. But I've never been a fan of that. For me,
right.
I don't feel like that solves anything. For me, and maybe I'm backwards on that, but my suspicion is that as we grow in our ability to manage what we have, the additional resources will be there. And so I don't want to, we did this earlier on in our business. I took on some debt and had more resources at my disposal than what we had earned. You know, it's sort of this old theory about standing on the shoulders of giants, you know, mm-hmm. like when you move up faster than you should have for whatever reason, your abilities don't match.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you didn't do the work that it took. You didn't have the mindset that it took. You didn't
third
have
generation
the systems.
In a family business.
Yeah, well, so that backfired on us pretty badly. Like the debt situation was not a good one. So I've been really averse to taking on any capital or even any debt because I just want to get there organically because I feel like we'll have the ability to handle it if we do it that way. But anyway,
okay.
That's me.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And so we've grown more slowly probably as a result of some of those decisions that we've made along right. the way. But at the same time, when I look back on 2015, I say, you know, business-wise, it was a great year. We signed on more clients. This show has been fantastic. I love working with the two of you guys. I love our listeners. I mean, mm-hmm. we have the world's greatest listeners. And I mean,
they really are involved.
Yeah. So anyway, from that standpoint, it was all good. I think, you know, right now I'm sitting here going, all right, 2016, what's going to be different?
Right.
When you ask me what's going to be different about 2016, I'm thinking mostly in terms of how we work with our clients and what we're going to be doing. For example, you know, we talked about, bold content, going after big engagement. I feel like with our clients, we're going to have to do what it takes to get them there on that stuff. And that's going to mean changing our approach because we're going to have to deliver more services. And I think I talked to you guys about this before. I feel like in some ways, some of our clients, we've done a disservice to by not selling them more of our services because some incremental increases in what's being done in for their marketing will have an exponential result.
Yeah.
You know,
the sum of all the parts is greater than each of the parts
yeah.
separate.
Yeah. So, and so in that sense, I think there's a lot for us to learn and that's one of the benefits of going to inbound. I sat in the room with some other business owners who do what we do and learned about what they're up to. And I'm like, okay, some of yeah. that really makes sense. And again, some of them have grown really quickly and they're very hyper sales driven. And that's not us. We're not that way. But their methodologies, I think some of them we can learn from.
I'm curious. You guys are both very, very busy people. I know I feel like I'm interviewing you guys right now, but that's okay.
Hurry like, up. I'm busy.
Busier than I am. Like I'm the kind of person who could take on more projects. You guys are pretty much maxed out in your projects. And I think you almost have to go the direction of either growing the team to grow the company.
Yes.
Or get more efficient yourself or a combination of both.
Right. And actually that's an excellent insight because I feel like, and certainly my wife feels like I'm kind of maxed out time-wise with my company.
Yep.
And so then the question is, all right, but we really need to grow family revenues more. And so how do we do that? And that's actually something that we are looking at seriously about how we approach 2016 with that in mind. Now, 2016 being an election year makes it funkier for me.
Right.
But that's excellent because you can only – hours always limit you. If you're limited by hours, then you can't scale up well.
So I guess my question is what are you not going to do in 2016 to make room for the things that you want to do?
Oh, that's hard.
Well, it's not going to be this podcast. that I'm not going to do.
Well, that's good to know.
Yeah.
Well, folks, you heard it here. Rod is staying with us on the Grow the Dream show.
Not where I was leading with that.
No, but it's a serious question. So, I mean, assuming that most of what you're doing is relatively important, then if you're going to need to drop something in order to focus on something that's either more efficient or more passionate about or even, there's more revenue involved with, then that's a tough decision.
Or even change, you know, how you're doing something or the time you put on other tasks so you can prioritize.
Okay, thing I thought about, I'm trying to remember where I heard it, but somebody who planned out their day, it'll probably come to me, in 15-minute increments. Oh, I know it was Kirk Cousins, quarterback for Washington Redskins, former Michigan State Spartan.
Oh, yeah?
And he, his last year, I think was his first year in the league, maybe second, I'm sorry, but pretty mediocre year, lots of problems. This year, he went into it, and he made a time commitment to, he has every 15-minute block in his day scheduled out so that he was not wasting any time, including time with his wife. He had scheduled out.
Hey, babe, I got 15 minutes for you.
And I'll tell you what, this year, he's setting records.
That's not what I was going with.
Redskins.
That's funny.
I know, that's what I heard,
that's
too.
Funny.
That's so bad. It's because of the way you said it, Josh.
Well, I meant like time.
It's going to be the worst 15 minutes of your life.
That's right. Yeah. But it's not like it was only 15 minutes. I mean, obviously, there's a lot of things that take more than 15 minutes, and we're not going any further than that. But
so sometimes he'd block out 30 minutes.
Well, it'd be 15, 15, 15, 15.
You just do it at the 15-minute granular level.
It was a time management, right, the time management that he did to make sure that he wasn't squandering time. I imagine he didn't have 15 minutes for Facebook stuff and that sort of thing because it wasn't part of his, what he needed to be doing at all. And so it was
sounds like a little bit like the Pomodoro approach. I'm not sure if I'm saying that correctly.
Yeah, Pomodoro. Yeah.
25 minute sessions, no more than 25 minutes with a 5-minute break.
Right. Yeah. Right. Yeah. Exactly.
That's different. That's like focus work.
Right. You know, yeah. And so I don't know what all it was, but that whole time management, because I do feel like that I get sidetracked on things because sometimes I'm researching something, I'm looking into something. And no matter what it is, then I've squandered time during the day.
The internet does that. You go to a new tab to research something, and then you see a friggin' notification. And before you realize what happened, because you already read the notification,
right.
you're in that zone.
Right.
And like I literally have to stop, close my eyes, and think, what the heck did I go to this? You know, I have more browsers open. I have hundreds of tabs,
right.
And I have two browsers open always. So I'm like, why did I switch from Safari to Chrome? There's something. So I go back to Safari, try to finish where I left off.
So
and
you're
realize,
talking massive inefficiencies at that point. And obviously,
gosh.
I think most all of us do the same thing. I don't know if David's going
to
fess up.
I have no idea what you guys are
exactly.
talking
That's what
about,
I thought.
Man,
because I'm pretty sure.
Actually, I use Momentum as my new tab for Chrome, and that does help.
Yeah? What does Momentum do?
Well, it displays a nice, gorgeous photo, which is new once a day. So you look at the same one all day.
An inspiring photo.
And it says, it's got a big thing that says, okay, what are you trying to accomplish today? Or what's your main goal for the day or whatever? And you can fill it in if you want to. You fill it in the morning, and then it shows it to you every time you open a new tab.
Oh, I see.
And so that helps you kind of stay on track.
Okay.
But I don't necessarily fill it in every day. It's just a nice way to keep me from seeing, like, the previous new tab page in Chrome showed me all my commonly used websites.
Oh, that's horrible. Yeah.
And that's like crack for the brain.
Oh, gosh.
You know?
Oh, that was cool. That's right. Oh,
yeah. Yeah. Or it'll have Facebook with a little notification in it, even though it's just a little preview thumbnail or whatever.
Oh, it's bad.
And that's like, oh, there's a notification in Facebook. I should go see what that
is. Okay. So while we're on this topic, Nir Eyal, I think I'm silly. It's spelled Nireyal, wrote a book called Hooked, which teaches companies how to do that to people, how to get them back hooked in there, whether it's email notifications or notifications are. But
good job, Nir Eyal.
So he's, but here's the good thing.
Is it any coincidence that his name sounds like Neuro? Anyway, sorry.
I don't know. So he made the swing back around. He did a TED talk and told users how to defeat it their lives against the hook technique. And it's a really good TED talk.
So it's like the white hat hacker.
Yeah, you have to Google that. Nir Eyal.
He's like working for both sides. That's weird.
TED talk. So
okay. All right. I'll have to check it. We'll link it out in the show notes.
That's cool. A good one. Like he does something. I think he leaves his phone out of his bedroom, for example. So, it's just one thing, so that at night he doesn't.
Okay, so here's something
pulled back in. By
what does he use for an alarm clock, though? That's weird.
Not, so I would like
an alarm clock.
I'd like to hear from our listeners if they, you know, if they've come up with any, you know, good tricks. One of the things that I have started doing, and I need to do it a lot more, is when I'm on task on something, I'm working on something, I need to close my mail, because when I see the little red dot down there with numbers in it, oh, there's 12 in your inbox. It's all. Then once I know that, I cannot
Gmail.
Not check those.
Gmail
right.
helps.
Right. But I don't use Gmail. So it's not hard.
You should.
I can just quit it for a few hours, you know?
Oh, that's what they all say, man. I can quit for a few hours.
You know? Yeah, but see, I don't need to quit forever. I can go right back to it. Right back to the crack.
Oh, that's funny. Yeah, so that's a good thing, though. If you can turn off your notifications, that's good. What about for marketing? You know, 2016, I've been thinking about, like, what's coming up. You know, I mentioned hyper-relevance and doing bolder content. One of the other things that we're going to be implementing this year in a big way is influencer marketing.
Yeah, I was wondering, I'm really pondering how to do that, too.
For your clients?
Yeah.
Because I'm looking at it for a new venture. I continue pondering and meditating on it, trying to figure out how to go forward on it. And it might be one of those things where you just got to launch, brother. But influencer marketing, that whole conversation just really got my mind going, because this
was
is something
a great show.
What I'm you know, looking at doing is something that would really lend itself to influencer marketing.
What are you looking to do?
Well, I'm not going to say yet.
Oh, come on.
He's keeping it under wraps.
They can't do that.
Yeah.
All right. Rod's got an idea.
It's called a teaser.
Rod's got an idea.
But you can't tease nothing and call it a teaser.
Okay.
So another thing that we're going to have to pay attention to this year, guys, is Google delayed the release of the new Penguin update.
Penguins.
See, now that should mean something to
let
me, right?
The holidays go by. Yeah, it's going to mean something. It's going to roll out in early 2016. So
what's the brief non-nerdy?
Okay, we're in early 2016.
If you remember, I know, but it's coming up. It's happening. If you remember Penguin, I think it was 2012, if I remember right, the first Penguin update. And that algorithm changed.
I can't believe they're still doing Penguin updates.
They're all black and white animals. Black hat, white hat. There's a lot of interesting symbolism in the choices.
Killer whale? Yeah. Oh, yeah. What are they doing? Killer whale?
I don't know. But Panda was the first one, and it was named after like a dude that worked at Google. So
they kept the theme.
Yeah, it was weird. Anyway, Penguin was about spammy links. So this was the first time that Google, on an algorithmic level, really crack down on paid links and on poor link building strategies. And so 2012 was when the whole SEO world started to crumble.
Are you aware of that, Josh? Did you come across that at all?
Whatever episode that is, the day that Google traffic died.
That was interesting.
Was that was it the Penguin update that did that to you?
It didn't hit me until 2013.
Yeah. Well, and Penguin has been rolled out. This is what's changing. Okay, this is actually what's changing.
Like late 2013.
It was a rollout, and it took time. The new update to the Penguin portion of Google's algorithm means almost real-time changes to the Google search results. In other words, when Google finds a spammy link, it will immediately impact search results, like in real time.
So, wrongly, apparently, I had kind of assumed that's how they already did it. There's a lag.
Well,
time.
Like Josh said,
But that a year and a half, I figured that was even maybe a different Penguin update.
It could have been, yeah. It could have been that he was passed over in the original one. Mm-hmm. But
true.
It represents part of, you know, one of the things. This is Google Trend overall, right? This machine learning idea. We talked about Rank Brain on the show. You guys remember that?
Right.
This is part of what Google is doing. They're just really accelerating the pace at which the ranking factors can be adjusted. I mentioned it on this show, right? When I published a new blog post, sometimes I would see a whole site disappear from the search results for a day or two.
Right. That's so weird.
Yeah. So,
that doesn't make
sense. So how is this update going to affect marketers?
Well, if you are being targeted by someone, speaking of Baidu and you know, we're going to have to really be on the defensive against people who might target you with link spam. Mm. So you've heard of negative SEO. I think we talked about it on the show. So that would be one of the things that we got to pay attention to. Influencer marketing. This is where influencer marketing could backfire. If a particular blogger has their site, turned into, like, if Google realizes, hey, this is just basically a link farm, a paid link you know, scam of some kind.
Right.
If a particular influencer has their site identified by Google in that way, that could have a real negative impact on you pretty quickly.
So influencer marketing, in a way, is discouraged by Google. Google does not like influencer marketing that is paid.
If it's not disclosed. So if it's done properly.
And their bots can tell if it's disclosed.
But how would their bots tell if it's disclosed or not?
Yes, that's part of it. But also keep in mind that if you're paying for a link, Google wants it to be no followed. Right?
Wait, no, what?
If you pay for a link,
it's just
Google,
a tag in the
Google
code.
Google doesn't say you can't pay for links. They just say that if it's paid, it should be no followed.
Right. They told PR Web, was this a year back, that all of their links
had to be no followed.
Needed to be no follow.
Yeah.
Okay. Please explain to me what no
follow. So,
a
no follow, when you create in HTML code, when you create a link, you do an A tag, which is the, you know, your open bracket A, and then it's got an href, which is, you know, equals, and that's the URL. Mm-hmm. And then there's a rel portion that you can use, and it stands for related.
Yeah, there's
a lot
of... It
was originally used as related. So, like, it was actually...
It's used for a lot of different things.
Yeah,
now.
It really is. Early on, you could use it to mean, like, this is a friend of mine. You could do rel equals friend.
Okay.
And Google would say, oh, you're friends with that person.
That's funny.
Whatever. But and not just Google, like a lot of other software would catch the content there. So today, rel equals is the catch-all for anything else that you might need to do. So one of the things you can do is rel equals no follow. And no follow tells Google and the other search engine bots, don't follow this link. Don't go follow this link and see what it is. Because you're basically saying, I'm linking to this, but I'm not trying to pass any link juice to the other site in the Google search.
So, okay. So that means that if somebody goes to their site, they can click the link. Everything is fine. But if the Google bot goes to it and sees it, they're not going to damage the other site.
In reality, Google will follow the link still. But what they're saying is we're going to exclude this in terms of our algorithm. We're going to exclude this from a ranking signal. It's not going to look like this site voted for that site to rank better.
Okay.
And that's kind of what it boils down to. You can also, incidentally, on your own site, you can use nofollow links if you don't want Google to actually show certain pages. But you should also use a noindex if you want to do that. So you'll see a lot of times rel equals noindex nofollow, you know, rel index comma no, sorry, yeah, rel equals noindex comma nofollow. Sorry, I'm getting lost in the techie weeds there. But if you do a noindex nofollow, that says to Google, the page this link points to is something I want excluded from the search results, period.
Okay.
Which, you know, maybe you have private content or whatever else you don't want Google to show.
There you go.
But so then back to the influencer marketing is, explain then the bottom line if there's a risk there, because it seems to me there's a whole lot of upside to the influencer marketing. Yeah. So how do we avoid pratfall there?
You have to find the influencers who are doing it right. And if they're doing this professionally, they should be doing the disclaimer.
Yep.
Saying, you know, I was given services, there was a trade here, or I was paid money-wise.
Or don't pay them.
Or don't pay them.
You don't only use the ones that refuse payment.
My intent would be, and my thinking of it, for what I was looking at, wasn't going to involve pay.
Yeah, now, so it just depends.
It could be a trade of services.
And that's the thing, is that, you know, at what point do the gifts or, you know, gifts in kind or whatever...
The IRS will tell you at what point.
Yeah, well... Yeah, thankfully the IRS and Google are not in close contact with each other. But anyway,
I hope not.
That's a
match made in hell.
So anyway, Google Penguin is going to have an impact. It could impact our influencer strategies, but I think one of the things is just look for quality people. I think Josh's point is well taken.
If you went to an influencer marketing blog, for example, and they use nofollow links in all of their posts, would that be a signal? Okay, this person knows what they're doing. I should reach out to them.
Potentially, yeah, but it could
or
also...
Or are you like, well, this doesn't add any value to me?
I think it does, though. I actually think that with nofollow links, I think that Google's not being 100% transparent about how they treat those.
What makes you say that?
Well, it goes back a few years. You know, one of the things that used to happen, WordPress automatically nofollowed links in comments.
Yeah.
And that was done to... Discourage the practice of
spamming
comments.
Absolutely.
Right.
Which still
but it
goes
didn't.
On.
I mean, it multiplied exponentially. And what we found was that even nofollow links in comments would increase the ranking of a site. So, in other words, if we made a comment on someone's blog and it pointed back to our site, we would see a search engine benefit from it.
Even though it was no followed.
Even though it was no followed. So, and incidentally, for blogs that we ran, that we wanted to encourage commenting on, we would heavily moderate the comments, but we would turn off the no-follow feature in WordPress. So you had to use a plugin to do it.
Okay, so question.
So we would follow links.
How does Google look at a comment with a link that then a couple of people click on that link?
Google is technically supposedly not paying attention to actual traffic. What they're paying
attention
to...
Seems like that would be relevant to an SEO.
But how does Google know what the traffic is?
Well,
in other words, okay, set aside analytics for a second.
Thank you.
I know where Josh is going. But how does Google know whether someone clicked on it or not? Unless it's a Google search result on a Google site that they own,
right.
How would they know if there was anybody clicking on the link?
I don't know.
Right. That's and they shouldn't know.
Hey, why has Google never created their own Alexa score that would be...
Because it would tell
way
the
more
world.
Accurate.
Yeah. No, it would tell the world.
Don't plus, you think they have that information?
Plus, it be
enterprise sites don't use analytics. They don't use Google Analytics. They use private enterprise level analytics from other firms.
Yeah.
So it would only be accurate. Well, just like the other ones, it's sampling anyway.
But they can tell who was sending traffic to those sites and still kind of fill in the blanks better than anybody else. Anyway, I was just.
Yeah.
Thinking about that.
Well, there's one other trend I'm going to mention that I think we should pay attention to for 2016, and that is that I believe we should expect search to begin to happen more frequently in other places than just where we're doing it now. So lot of us have abandoned the Google search page when we're not in front of a computer. We search with Siri.
Yeah.
We search with, by saying, you know, ask Google.
Second largest is YouTube.
Alexa. Right, but I think you're going to start to see, like, Facebook has been behind the scenes working in a huge way on improving search. I think we're going to see more search happening there. I think you're going to see more like this.
So basically, while you're on Facebook, because even now when you search in Facebook, you know, if you're, whatever you're searching for, it gives you the option basically to search the internet from there.
Yeah, that's been Bing. Ugh.
Is that what they're using? Is Bing?
Yeah, but that's not what I'm talking about.
Okay.
I think they're going to begin to increase the visibility of page content. From businesses, for example, from business pages.
Increase it where?
In search.
In their internal search.
Because they're going to begin to position search more prominently for users. In other words, I believe Facebook is headed in the direction of... Remember, Mark Zuckerberg's big goal from the very beginning has been to replace the World Wide Web.
Right.
What?
That's
I don't know
stated
about from
goal.
The very beginning.
Yes, from but, well, okay, from
right.
early in Facebook's history, probably not when he was in his Harvard dorm, but you know, early in Facebook's history, once he realized what he had, he said, "We're gonna replace the World Wide Web," and they're trying to do it. Actually, I just saw this past week a story about backlash in India over internet.org. I don't know if you guys saw the story. Mark Zuckerberg was shocked that anyone would want to push back on internet.org. Basically, what they're doing is they're providing for free. To a huge segment of the otherwise disconnected population, a limited version of the internet that only goes to Facebook and something else. I don't remember what it was, but very limited sites, in other words.
So I don't understand why on Facebook, company on Facebook, Facebook has been trying to force companies to promote and to pay. Why would they improve their visibility without that? That sounds counter to what they've been
doing. It's not just that they're going to improve the visibility of the pages. It's that they're trying to improve the utility of the site for the users. And so I think because this is why does Google provide free search, right? When they sell ads, that's their business model.
Right.
And what it boils down to is if they can steal market share from Google, and I'm talking long term here. I mean, you're going to start to see this trend occur. But if they can begin to encourage you, a Facebook user, to begin to use the Facebook app to search instead of...
But and you're talking about searching the internet, though.
Searching for anything.
Yeah. Right.
They're, okay. they're going to partly do this with bots. You think about Siri as a bot, right? Or even OK Google, you know. Oh, sorry. these are bots. It's like, in other words, we're starting to get into a place where we're doing chatbots. And that's what this comes down to.
Right.
And we're going to start to interact with the internet in a more conversational chatbot type of way.
Well, you've seen Iron Man. That would be the ultimate computer.
I saw that first one. I think maybe
Jarvis. Hey, Jarvis, make me a robot suit.
Oh.
And he makes you a robot suit.
Is that the thing in the basement?
Well, no, it's everywhere.
Okay,
it's,
Jarvis
is everywhere.
I haven't seen it.
Throughout his house. It's his home security.
I saw the first Iron Man, and I think
and the Avengers with Iron Man.
I haven't seen any of the
Avengers.
Anyway, that's,
whoa,
we've had this conversation before. We got to do that,
dude.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. All right. Keep going.
I think we're going to begin to interact because all of it is going that way already. We're starting to be more conversational in terms of the apps we use. And I think that's going to begin to happen. Like, if you think about what's happening on Slack, like Slack has reinvented corporate communications internally. The percentage of email usage in companies that have adopted Slack has been like jumping off a cliff. I mean, it's just absolutely like huge declines in email usage. And it's more chat based.
Hockey puck.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, right. Exactly. It's the opposite of a unicorn. Whatever.
Sorry,
that
not
is.
Hockey puck. Hockey
yeah.
stick.
Yeah. I knew what you meant.
What does a hockey puck curve look like?
It's just a
chasing your tail.
Hamster running in a yeah. But anyway, I think. But what that's done though is it's created this new opportunity. So now there are a bunch of companies that are writing bots for tools like Slack and HipChat yeah. and. WhatsApp and some of these other messaging platforms.
Okay, so when he's saying bot, he's not saying something that scans the web. It's a bot
that you talk to.
Right.
Yeah.
So it, not VR.
Yeah, it's kind of an AI
no,
thing.
AI. That's what
it's not.
For.
It's not truly yeah. AI, but I think that's where some of this is going. Anyway, I think that as that happens, here's what we have to think about. We have to optimize our content so that it shows up and looks right in these places.
How's that work?
I was thinking about your WWSB, you know, post. And so Josh,
I was going to actually ask you about that.
Rod was on television on a panel earlier this week, yes. or last week.
I heard about it on Facebook. I didn't check it out.
And unfortunately, the local ABC affiliate that had this news program, their moron web developers created a mobile version of their site. So when you share the link, which Rod did, because I wanted to watch it. I'm right. like, hey, I didn't see it when
a
it aired.
A bunch of people said, put the yeah. link up.
Put the I link up. So he shared it. And if you were on a mobile device, you got a 404 error of all things.
No way.
Oh, yeah. It was so bad. The way that they wrote the transition from the desktop site to the mobile site, if you were on a mobile browser, was so horrific that it didn't even show valid content. And people were publishing screenshots in
right,
the comments.
Saying, hey, I couldn't get it because I clicked on it and it worked fine. But of course, I did it from my laptop.
So I clicked on it from my mobile browser, from my Android device on Chrome. And I'm like, I bet you if I switch it to the desktop site. So I clicked the request desktop site and it came up. No problem. Here's the video and everything. And I sent it to my Chromecast and I watched it on TV. And it was cool.
Moving on.
So it was a nerdy moment for me. But I thought about how bad that was. But even before we got to click the link, when you shared the link, you had an image appear.
So what happened? Yeah, because yeah. I didn't know if this was part of the problem. So when I did it originally, I shared the link.
Nah,
and the image that came up was not it was unrelated to the show. It was unrelated to any ads on the page. It was unrelated to anything on that page. I have no idea where the image came from.
I'll tell you where it came from.
Okay.
Was it the default image?
Yeah, it was their Open Graph default image.
It looked like a cooking show or something like this. A woman at a cooking show.
Somebody being lazy. As website owners, not developers, but just as site owners, we have to pay attention to the Open Graph. When you publish a something on your site, whatever it is, page, post, blog post, whatever it is, you need to set very intentionally what image is in the Open Graph so that when Facebook and other platforms like LinkedIn and Twitter and everybody else, when they find your content, you're basically saying, please show this image. And you have control over that as a site owner. And
in WordPress, it's a featured image. They handle that easy for you.
If you're using Jetpack as a plugin, or if you're using Yoast or a handful of other plugins,
featured image. Okay.
It will. But WordPress core, unless it's changed, they just released 4.4 and I haven't played with it yet.
I was going to say, they don't include that in the core? That's crazy.
No, it hasn't been in the core. Because the Open Graph was something that they wanted to stay a layer away from as the WordPress devs.
Huh.
But Jetpack, which is their product, does it for you. In fact, I've had problems with it because it does it in addition to some other plugins.
Okay.
It's like if you have Yoast and Jetpack, you have to tell Jetpack to stop it.
Oh my gosh.
Because then
so
you get
annoying.
Two.
So it wasn't a problem that I took out the link that was automatically
Correct.
Generated by Facebook. I put in a screenshot that a friend took as a photo, but then I left the link in the text part for people to click on. That wasn't the problem.
No, that wasn't the issue at all because you didn't change where the link pointed.
Okay.
Right.
So your point in bringing all of this up is that Spotlight, all of these other, we'll call them next gen search right. Services
and stuff that we haven't probably invented or thought of yet.
Yeah, it's going to start pulling from these open graph, like in Slack. When you post a link in Slack, it goes and gets the open graph
image.
It
sure does.
And a snippet from the site and all that kind of stuff. That's what you're referring
to. We have to control that stuff. Now, on WordPress, I do use Yoast for that. But, you know, there are lots of ways to get that done. And whatever platform you're on, you just have to pay attention. We have to be intentional about what our content is going to look like. You know, you got to test it out. You got to see what it's going to look like when it gets tweeted. You got to see what it's going to look like when it gets shared on Facebook.
True. That's like a best practices for that.
Really. It really is. Yeah. And maybe that's something we should put together is just a set of best practices for that kind of stuff. That would be a good thing for our listeners. But
interesting.
Yeah. All right. So we've belabored this point a little while. I think there's a lot of fun stuff coming up for 2016.
It should be exciting.
Yeah.
Hey.
Even if you're not in politics.
Yeah.
What are you not going to do in 2016?
I'm not going to keep talking when we're an hour and something into our episode.
There you go.
I think
I'm going to keep asking this.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't have an answer for that yet.
Okay.
I don't know for sure if this is one I'm going to not do, but I want to manage my time better. I want to be more intentional with my time usage and less frivolous, particularly with the social media time suck.
That's good.
But it's good for your business.
Well, I have to be on it for that, but that's all the more reason why I have to be disciplined about it.
Yeah. I have to use crack because it's part of what I do.
I sell crack, so I have to be involved with it, right?
Yeah.
This is great.
I got some new crack to taste. All right. We're not drug users, just for the record.
Just for the record.
Fun show today.
Yeah.
First one of 2016. Hey, we're excited about hearing from you. Our listener, tweet us at GTE Show if you have, 2015 year in review stuff or things you're looking forward to 2016. Keep in mind, though, we do want to hear your favorite moments from our first year of this show. We're going
to
be we're going
to
be doing our 1 year anniversary show in a couple of weeks. We'll figure out exactly which episode that's going to be, but anyway, it's coming up. Excited about that.
Yeah, that's right.
All right.
All right.
Have a great one, guys. We'll see you next week.
Okay. Thanks for listening to the Grow the Dream Show. We invite you to subscribe and leave us a review on iTunes, Stitcher, or your favorite podcast app. Get connected to our growing community, add your comments, ask questions, and listen to the archives on the web at growthedream.com/show.